You're listening to Around Comics, episode 204. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comics.
I'm sitting perfectly still. I am not revolving. I have no idea what you're talking about.
We just spun you around.
Lazy
this week.
Susan.
Well, I'm dizzy, but that's from the drinking, not revolving.
Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Hey there, everybody. I'm Christopher Niesman, and joining us on the panel this week, as always, Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm always here. Thank you.
Tom,
yeah, the crowd goes wild.
The Tom Maniacs are here.
Tommy. Yeah,
Tommy.
Exactly. Thank you, everyone.
And this is the Laughing Brandon episode, is it not?
The Laughing Brandon. Well, speaking of Brandon, a longtime listener to the show and usual spectator in the Dark Tower Gallery, has moved over into one of our chairs. How you doing, sir?
I am okay.
We twisted his arm and forced him into a chair behind a microphone.
With violence, knives, drinking.
We demand more enthusiasm.
Yeah,
got
come on!
The hat with the Watchman button.
Energy!
Like something out of a Dario Argento film, we've clamped his mouth open so he has to speak.
Yeah. Energy.
And next,
and now we're plying him with alcohol. Okay.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's gonna work.
And he's 12 years old.
Longtime friend of the program and often guest. We pulled him away from the political debates tonight.
All right, we're not drinking at all, Mom. So what are you talking about, officer? I was drinking. The microphone's been drinking, not me.
Mr. Hillary Barda, how are you doing, sir?
I'm sorry, I'm fine, Chris. How are you?
All right.
Look at this table.
Hey, you know, I actually had a question from Augie DeBleek this week.
She's hot.
She's a he, but other she's than that, he. She's hot. Yeah. She's so hot, she's a he. I'm not sure what that means.
Hot.
Yeah. And so you were very kind to answer Augie's question. Do you read Augie's column at all?
I'm sorry, of course I do, Chris.
Augie,
what's the name of Augie's column?
Augie does a column at Comic Book Resources every week called The Pipeline and talks about all the comics that are coming out, and he also has a great podcast called The Pipeline.
Comics
podcast.
Of course he does.
Pipeline.
Yeah.
Coming of course,
at you. Yeah. Augie knows what's coming out. So
fast
yeah, so,
and hard.
So Augie was wondering about a comic series that you had worked on. What was the name?
Well, I think he was referring to Stupid, which was not a series. It was one issue at Image, and he was asking when is the second issue coming out. And, of course, it didn't come out. And that
never.
Was 10, 15 years ago? Yeah. No, did you pass along the answer?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah. But yeah, so why are you asking me
so
now?
So it's
just
being re-solicited?
No, I'm trying to pimp Augie's column.
This is the humiliation episode.
Brandon laughed. Number one. Let's mark that down, okay?
That's humiliation ching! Episode.
Number one.
Well, I tell you what, we should definitely talk about who is sponsoring this episode. Pass me that
paper.
Oh, yes.
Paper. The money.
Never call me Laughing Brandon again. Never.
This episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free, and right now, InStockTrades.com is offering our new book club selection, Tom Beland's True Story, Swear to God, Archive, Volume 1, for a fantastic 47% off the cover price. The first 17 issues of the six-time Eisner-nominated
Miller
series are collected here and available to you for a mere $10.59. That's InStockTrades.com.
Train pulling into the station, and it's selling Miller High Life.
You know what town we just pulled into, Hillary? Flavortown.
Flavortown. That's right next to Satisfaction Junction.
So the mayor of that silly city is Mr. Miller. Miller High Life.
So check out Tom B. Land's True Story, Swear to God, and do all of your collected edition shopping at InStockTrades.com.
Yes.
And we should probably talk a little bit about this little convention we got coming up.
It's just a little thing we have going.
It's a little thing.
A little thing.
It's a show.
It's a show
in Chicago.
It's a show in Chicago. It is called the Windy City Comic Con.
Around Comics is proud to present the Windy City Comic Con. Join us on October 25th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Center on Halsted, just two blocks from the very manly and heterosexual Wrigley Field.
How many blocks was that, Tom?
Two blocks in the heart of Chicago's heterosexual Wrigleyville neighborhood.
The beating heart of heterosexual...
This one-day event will bring together the best comic book retailers, publishers, creators, and fans of missionary vaginal sex in the Midwest. Area's best retailers will be offering great deals on new issues, collected editions, statues, games, toys, apparel, and tons, literally tons of back issues. Meet some of the Midwest...
Back issues!
Talent.
That's hairy back issues.
Hairy back issues. Meet some of the Midwest best talent, including Gene Ha, Don Kramer, Mike Norton, Chris Burnham, Will...
Pfeiffer.
Will Pfeiffer!
Bill Reinhold, Doug Klava, Rich Kozlowski, Jeffrey Brown, Tim Seeley, and many, many more. Book your plans now to attend the Windy City
Comic Con. That's Manny Moore. Manny Moore is also coming.
Manny Moore will be there on October 25th for a full list of exhibitors, like guests, and gaming schedules. And programming, go to www.windycitycomiccon.com. That's Comic-Con spelled C-O-M-I-C-O-N.com. The Windy City Comic Con, Chicago's only comic book convention.
Yes, and it's only $5.
It's only $5.
In spite of that promo, it's a real con, and it's really happening.
It's really happening. It's not a joke. It's not some radio stunt we're pulling.
That's right.
Really yeah. happening. We have, it is yeah. in the heart of heterosexual Wrigleyville. Straight.
It's going to be a great day. If you're in the Chicagoland area, please come by. Once again, it's only $5, and it's going to be a
great
day.
And if you're not, with a $5 admission fee, you can afford the flight fare. You know, you can afford
sure.
that airfare.
For the $5.
We sold a ticket in New York, so we've got somebody from New York coming.
Wow,
if you
what
can't
a crazy
afford the
fuck
$5,
that guy must be.
Yeah, no shit.
If you can't afford the $5, you can spend the $2 to come to Tom Cater's Chicago Comic Con. It's taking place in the back of a bus parked in front of Halsted.
And that bus is not heterosexual.
You know, Tom, we've got
anything goes.
We've got the gift packs that we're giving away, and I was going to ask, are we going to have some Tom Cater salsa?
Sometime, no. That means I would have to buy a lot of salsa and then. Can you trademark salsa? That's too much work.
You know,
after that intro, I think you need to put a few condoms in there. Jeez. I mean,
you're
going to scare America with this
promo. Have you heard Ditka talk about his salsa on the radio?
Ditka?
Yeah, it's salsa.
Salsa.
Salsa. Mike Ditka's salsa.
Mike Ditka's salsa.
He's from Mexico.
Yeah. The Kutch from Polish Mexico.
I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure Ditka himself put it together.
He's working hard in the kitchen.
This salsa tastes like shit.
Get out of here.
More cilantro. Ditka likes his cilantro. My salsa. How does it salsa?
Salsa.
Salsa?
Salsa. Yeah.
It's like a
salsa.
Diabetes.
Let's talk about some comics.
Alright.
Let's talk about good heterosexual comics.
Straight comics.
Missionary vaginal
sex. Vaginal sex.
Let's go straight to comics.
Oh.
Let's talk about Batman and Robin in the Batcave.
Should I start?
Go for it. Yes, go for it.
I need to talk about two books, really. The first one being The Immortal Iron Fist, written by Dwayne. What a complicated name.
Swierczynski,
with pencils by Giuseppe Comuncoli.
God, why did you do this to yourself?
And,
way to prepare yourself for this. Here, let me see the book.
Why am I testing myself? It's a Orson Randall story, which is the Iron Fist sort of from the 1920s and 30s, the one before our current Iron Fist. And I wanted to bring this up as I've heard criticisms on certain shows, Bullpen Bulletins, on the forums about... I read this on the Bullpen Bulletins forum that people were sort of talking about that sometimes Marvel maybe gets a little too close to... it doesn't play up the fantastical enough to satisfy certain people's tastes. And to me, Iron Fist is one of the best balances of sort of a weird, gritty...
Street level and supernatural.
Just, and mixed with just insane shit. You know, because there's... It could just be a dumb kung fu book where it's just like people...
Like it used to be?
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but they always had, like, an extra something with it. It's not just kung fu. It also has, there's weird 1920s hypothetical technology, and, there was an Iron Fist who is, like, a drunk heroin addict, you know, and always throwing in, like, something weird. And the story is Orson Randall's in California in the 20s before Hollywood really picks up. He's there to help a friend of his from World War One find his daughter. He runs into the daughter. The daughter sort of like semi-seduces him with some sort of weird power. He finds out that she's involved with some cult. It goes in a lot of really weird directions. So it has like a noirish feel to it, but also has an element of just weird fantasy to it as well. That's really cool and really the best sort of part of comic books is that you can take in such a short story. You can combine noir and just outlandish. Like the ending to it is really funny in a weird way. Have you read it?
I have not read it yet. Not this issue, but go ahead.
At the end, pretty much at the end of the story, he is saved. He's sort of stopped this cult that was collecting all these women that kind of looked the same because they were trying to bring back this ancient god that was obsessed with taking over the world, and they needed a woman who looked a certain way, so a Hollywood producer was bringing in all these women with the same features, and Orson Randall goes in there and breaks up the thing, and three of the women survive, and they're like indebted to him, so they just follow him around constantly, and he talks about he spent a year just hanging out in California, like hooking up with these three women.
It looks like they're doing more than following him around. I think they catch him on page 23.
And there's some really humorous parts where like he breaks into the Hollywood producers like...
They tore at my trench coat, removed my mask, ran their fingers through my hair, jammed their beauty directly into my soul.
Yeah.
Jesus. Not even the chi of Shou Lao, the undying, could help me now. They just want to get laid.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. It's like that sort of weird mix of like kung fu stuff with really just weird ideas mixed in too that makes this issue really fun. I could read an Orson Randall Iron Fist series.
Oh, absolutely! It's awesome stuff.
It's the best thing to happen to Iron Fist, I think, ever was to have.
Well, it really made the mythology so much deeper. It gave it a history.
There's more stories.
There's another layer to the Iron Fist mythos that he's a great character.
And now you have when you have an artist who needs a month break, you can break out one of these that is a flashback story to the old Iron Fist. And really, honestly, I enjoy the Iron Fist, but I don't mind reading this. You know, like, fill-in stories always have, like, a bad connotation to them. Like, oh, they're not quite the same sort. But if you get something that's really fun...
That can be better than the regular.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I don't mind getting, like, a nice issue once a year that's a throwback to the old Iron Fist.
And there's some pretty spiffy color by Chicago and Paul Mounce in here, too.
Is Paul Mounce doing the color on that?
Yeah.
That's right.
I was surprised by how much I really enjoyed it. And I know a lot of people were sort of worried after Brubaker and Fraction left the book that they were writing. I almost prefer Dwayne Szczesny's style to theirs. I think he's a little more concise.
You know, the first issue didn't grab me.
Yeah.
I've continued to get it in this one shot, so I need to get caught up. I'm running so freaking behind on my comics right now.
When you have like a life or something going on?
No, I'm playing at a fucking comic book convention.
I know, exactly. You have less than a life. But I like what Sprzinski's what he's doing. He brings a different mentality to it. Mm-hmm. It's a little tighter, I think, a little less Brubaker and Fraction had any sort of writing flaw to it is that stories went on two or three issues too long.
The last arc did. The last
arc. I thought things got really stretched out.
Another from the Brubaker family of Marvel Comics. Thank you, Hillary.
No, it's okay. That moment was awkward even for me.
Brubaker, of course, had been co-writing Iron Fist with Matt Fraction, but Brubaker. This is like Brubaker week for Marvel. Both Captain America and Daredevil came out this week. Tom, had you dropped Daredevil?
I dropped it a long time ago when he went to France.
Did you drop it like it's blind?
Maybe a good stuff.
It's not funny. It's just stupid.
It's just a blind joke.
So why'd you laugh?
What, you made a blind joke?
He made a blind joke.
About what he said. I'll
deviate here. Maybe a good time to pick Daredevil back up, because I've really enjoyed the last two issues.
I'm okay in a non-Daredevil world.
That's okay.
I hate the blind.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah, thank you.
Murdoch
right on, Brent. Thank you so much.
Murdoch was kind of a dirtball.
I can't see for reason.
This last issue.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the end of Captain America.
You could be listening. This
when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
This is The Man Who Bought America, Part 6. This is the third act in the Death of Captain America series that Brubaker has done with the book. And
Brubaker?
For the first time, I can see Bucky taking over the role of Captain America. Yes. I mean, this episode really... really hammered home the point to me that, you know what? What did I say?
Episode.
Oh, episode. Well, there are like episodes. But this is the first time that I felt like, yeah, okay, this guy can take over the mantle of Captain America, and I'm okay with that. It actually makes sense to me now.
It was very good. It was a very good issue.
It was a great issue.
Brandon, do you read Captain America?
I bought the omnibus. Brubaker.
Have you read all of it?
Have you read it?
Yeah, I really liked it a whole bunch.
Are you waiting for the next omnibus?
Probably.
Do you feel that's a trap to buy all your issues in 25 part segments?
Like, I'm not a huge fan of Cap, so...
But I guess I am, because I'm spending like $100.
So I would consider you a fan of Cap if you bought one book that's
I'm a fan of good writing.
That's a good thing.
What do you think
of Bookie? What do you think of Brookie on the book?
Stop that.
He is awesome, except X-Men kind of sucks.
Brubaker, I don't see him as a X-Men kind of writer. No, not really. But Captain America...
Is anyone an X-Men writer?
It's the one Marvel book that I come back
Claremont,
to...
like 20 years ago.
Month in and month out, and as upset as I get with Secret Invasion and not really caring about that, Captain America, every month is one that is like, okay, this is the Marvel that I love. This is the Marvel
comics.
You can
take that home to mom and dad.
Yeah.
It's classy. It's a classy book.
It's a classy book.
Well-written book, well-drawn.
How did you like the issue?
I thought it was great. Maybe 18 issues long, the storyline pretty much.
God,
the
really?
Books,
it
yeah,
has been, yeah.
It's
yeah.
been that long of a story. He manages to wrap it up nicely, drawing in elements, and then also setting up future storylines. At the same time,
I think that's why I haven't read it in issues, because I
really
peek at them
long.
And I think I'd get pissed off if I read it by issue, because isn't Sharon still being held by what's his face?
I think
the last 17
you'll
issues
you'll
have been
have to
just
catch
her.
Yeah,
the last one issue was just her sleeping. I think you made a good choice.
Oh, stop that.
You made a good choice of waiting for the next omnibus, because I don't think you want the
her sleep might
issues.
Read better.
No, Brubaker wrote the best sleeping Sharon Carter I've ever read.
She did not have sleepy head at all.
Best, yeah.
Her hair was in place. Yeah. Awesomeness.
No, Cap has been month in, month out, a great book, and this wraps up everything from the death of Captain America. And I think they are ready to take that character and move on. And I don't think Steve Rogers is going to be around for a while.
Well, there'll
and
be people
I'm actually
that,
okay with that.
There are people that will never pick up a Captain America book until Steve Rogers is back in it, you know.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, if there are people see that. As
really?
Right there. Yeah. Just on our forum.
Does the Falcon still say, like, Holy Christmas?
That was Luke Cage.
Oh, that's Luke Cage.
Same difference, whatever.
Okay, sorry.
I'm like Falcon, Black Lightning, who, you know, no one knows the difference.
Now you're crossing universes.
That was the point.
He just showed you up, Chris.
I know he did.
Brandon just won.
And he's laughing
joyously. He owns the show now.
All right, Smarty Pants, bring something to the table here. What have you been reading?
I just bought the Longshot Trade by Art Adams and I don't know her last name.
Old school pick of the week.
And the center.
Really?
Yeah. Like I grew up like 17, 18, liking the Art Adams short run that he did. Actually, it was a couple issues for X-Men, and I just like his art. And I like Longshot. I like the shitty X-Men, like late 80s characters. Dazzler and Longshot and Psylocke and all them.
X-Men,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought I'd get the origin of Longshot.
Did you ever think it was weird that they made Longshot, they like shoehorned him into being a mutant?
Yeah, he's different from the other guys, so yeah.
I guess you are a mutant.
Yeah. Well, he's an alien, but he's also a mutant.
Well, they got Warlock. Yeah. So they have aliens, Warlock, and I think that's it.
Outside,
Adams makes everything look good.
Yeah, you know? It's very beautiful.
I mean, there's a lot of books that I shouldn't have liked over the years, but I buy them because I like the art, and then you end up kind of enjoying them. It kind of gives you a window or a way into the book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I haven't read that though. I actually just bought and have started rereading Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud.
Oh, sure.
Which I read a long time ago, about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago. So it's a good reread. I really enjoyed, I'm really enjoying reading everything again. Not too far on that, though. So
when I try and get people into comics, before I lend them something, I make them read that.
You must read Understanding
Comics. You
have
to understand it. I think that would be funny if people did do that.
Has Longshot ever worked as a character when Arthur Adams wasn't involved with that character? Should we call Ron Richards right now and find out?
I like the Australian X-Men. I'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. The sweet Australian X-Men. They left New York. Why?
They're in fucking San Francisco now? That's stupid.
I don't care.
Whoa. So anyway, I just finished DMC, is it?
Yeah, DMZ?
DMZ, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a really good book. I really enjoyed the first trade. That's pleasantly surprised by that.
That's another book that you could say has political overtones.
So,
you have another. You have anything else? You got something? Bring it.
Sure.
Empty out the Brandon case.
All at once.
Everything.
All right.
Give us it all.
I read the first three issues of Scott Pilgrim. That's a really good book also. Really enjoying the Scott Pilgrim.
I read the first one. I haven't gotten the second one yet. I will. I enjoyed it.
I like Scott Pilgrim. I've talked about it before.
You're too old to really enjoy it.
I am too old to enjoy it, yes. Well, no, I'm too old to really enjoy it.
Did they have video games back then?
Yeah. He's waiting for, like, the...
Pong. They don't have Pong references.
He's waiting the Aqualung version of Scott Pilgrim.
I'm not nearly hip enough to read Scott Pilgrim. Hillary, have you read Scott Pilgrim?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
See, that's how unhip Hillary and
you don't want to be on this side of the divide here.
You're on the same side as Chris, as far as unhipness.
It's not like I chose to be an old fart. It's a natural process.
Sneaks up on you.
Yeah. You want to just, instead of being a smartass, you want to tell me about Scott Pilgrim? Or you guys?
I mean, basically it's... The short story is he falls in love with this girl, and
he's Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim,
the guy, a guy,
a man,
some child,
man child,
Jinx. Falls in love with this girl, who is from New York and moves to Quebec, I believe. Where's Montreal?
It's Canada.
Canada.
All the same to me, man.
Moves up to Canada, and then she
did she see
fight.
Russia from her from her town? Sorry. So she moves to Canada, and he falls
and
in love with
falls
this
in love her, and he has to fight her seven ex-evil boyfriends. That's the
oh, that sounds
story.
Like a fun premise, yeah.
And they're sort of like...
They're evil, though. They're, I mean, they're like
they're
magical
no
powers, or they're just bad,
they're,
nasty
it's
guys.
Like video game-ish,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Okay.
Like, the first book, well, yeah, it's pretty video game-ish.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
He defeats one, and then another one shows up, and
well, there's,
sort of wait
there's
in
gonna
line.
Be, like, six books.
Yeah, but they sort of wait in line to
yeah,
fight him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like those movies where they have, you know, all the martial arts movies. The guys don't all gang up and kill the guy in the first 5 minutes, which is what they should do.
Yeah.
They all—it's like the X-Men.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wait, I will fight him. No, wait, don't go on your own. And then you know, whoever it is runs off.
And then somebody else runs.
And he
off.
Gets beat up, and then he runs up. But if they all just shot their rays and pounded on the same building all at the same time, they beat him. But no, they all have to go off and do it singly, and so they drag.
I was wondering.
That stuff's hilarious to me. I love that stuff.
In those old Bruce Lee movies, like the one where he fights Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I always wondered if people that made video games got the ideas for how to build those games from those movies.
From Bruce Lee.
Because you would literally like walk up a flight of stairs and then like fight somebody else. No one ever thought, let's have two people.
Well, every martial arts game has at least one Bruce Lee character in it. There's always like, what's his name from Mortal Kombat? The main dude.
Sub-Zero.
That's not the... Well, okay. He's the main dude, actually, but...
Get over here!
It always goes back to Sub-Zero.
It is. I have to make one Sub-Zero joke a week.
I think
it's part of our Mortal Kombat sponsorship clause.
So speaking of video games, there's a new movie coming out with video game. You know, the new Marky Mark movie.
Oh, Payne.
Max Payne.
Max Payne. Yeah, that's based on a video game,
sure.
Right?
Well, you saw The Hitman, and now Max Payne, and there's been Resident
I won't be
Evil
seeing that movie. That looks pretty shitty.
Max Payne?
Maybe like you Payne. Haven't seen Hillary's Max Payne tattoo yet. He's like the biggest Max Payne fan.
It's all on the back.
Awkward.
Yeah. When I play with Max Payne, I'm not talking about the video game, but...
I do everything Maximum Payne.
Oh?
Tell you what.
Oh, I don't even... He's going to pull out a smaller bottle of whiskey out of his bag. Lego Batman!
Ooh, you are cool. You just got like 10 cool points right now.
And for Wii and Xbox 2. Why do you have both?
Well, you don't have
PS3. Because I bought the Xbox 360 version of Batman Lego for me and the Wii version for my nephew. So I'm going to see this weekend.
Oh, that's out.
Yes.
Cool.
No, I got pre-orders.
Snap!
I thought you were cool at that, actually.
Aaron still owns the show up, you see.
Ironically, I thought you did, but you had the hookup, but apparently not. And
did Hank hook you up with
those? No, Hank did not hook me up with those.
Why? What's wrong? Hank's our connection to video games, man.
You know, I totally forgot about it. I just went to Best Buy today with Sal. And I was like, I'm getting me some Batman Lego, and I'm getting some Batman Lego for my nephew.
The Lego games are fun.
The Star Wars?
Yeah.
Have you played the Indiana Jones?
Doesn't really
work.
I played
the Star Wars.
It's like the Star Wars game, except he just has a whip. No force powers, just a whip.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work for me.
I can handle those types
Hillary
of games.
Hillary is completely lost on
okay,
this.
Okay, Hillary, here's what a video game is. A video game, there's something called a console, and then you put the game into it, and you plug it into your television box. I'm putting quotes around everything.
Some call it TV.
You mean the video screen?
Oh, you mean the talkie?
If you're British, maybe a telly.
I get to control a talkie?
Well, I mean, I played, when they first came out, the video games, you know, Galaxian and, you know, Space Invaders. That's the era I know, and I gave up when they started. You know, I realized it cost a quarter every time you played the
4-bit
game.
4-bit graphics. It was like over. No more than 4 bits.
When I went to school in Madison, there was a old-fashioned arcade on State Street called Ping Time that had old Pac-Man. All it had was old arcade games, and when I would get done with work, I'd bring like $3 worth of quarters over there, and I'd play Doctor Who Pinball.
Pinball, I like. Nice. Pinball, yeah. I like. Yeah, pinball's fun.
When all those Daleks would get fired up. Once you get all the doctors.
Exterminate.
I think the guy that owned the place is just annoyed that I showed up every day at the same time, and I was like trying to beat my own score at the Doctor Who pinball machine over and over again. Don't like the show that much, but loved the pinball.
Loved the show. Never played the pinball. Love Adam's Family. Adam's Family pinball, awesome.
Elton John pinball? Ever played that?
No.
My friend owns a pinball machine, and it broke. And do you realize how hard it is when a pinball machine breaks to find someone to fix it? Because he found that out the hard way, that not many people know how to fix a pinball machine. Luckily, Midway...
Generation to generation.
Midway in Chicago.
Yeah, they're right here.
Yeah, it's like, if he didn't live in Chicago,
he was fucked.
Might have been fucked, pretty much. Because this is... Because there's, like, generations of pinball machines, too. There's, like, the more modern ones, then there's the older ones, and I guess a lot of people don't know how to fix ones from the early 70s, you know, like the technology.
Do you think Midway still gets a lot of calls on those?
On old pinball machines?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. There's one guy.
We should talk to Andrew about that.
Do you ever get any pinball calls? People call you about your pinball machines. It's very expensive to fix, too. He's kind of pissed.
In college, the Elvira pinball machine.
Oh, good.
Loved it.
Fucking pervert. Weirdo.
She's like 50, but her breasts are like...
See, I've worked at... I've worked in the Elvira comic, but I've not played the game.
You worked on the Elvira comic?
There you go. You see? It's all about comics.
Okay, what did you do for Elvira?
This is not around Elvira, you know? This is not around video
games. It is becoming very quickly around Elvira. We're heading down that path.
No, I actually just... Ron Sutton, the guy who penciled a Fear Agent story that I wrote that's out in the collection and in one of the issues, was an artist on Elvira, and I inked a few stories of his over there, like last year or something. They're not publishing them anymore. They recently ceased publication.
Elvira's not a hot property anymore?
Well, for some reason, the company stopped publishing them. I don't know what happened. I don't have the
probably
inside.
Got too hot. It's probably too much.
Perhaps the sales were burning up the stands and couldn't afford the insurance anymore. But
the fire insurance of these copies of this Elvira comic. But setting your store on fire.
That's sort of like the first work we did together, and then we ended up doing a Fear Agent story together, and then now we're working on a Munden's bar story, too. So, you know, it's exciting. Yeah, I was just looked over when I was finishing that comment, and Chris was yawning, so I'm like, oh, boy.
It's been a long night of drinking.
It's been a long
night. You know, DC just started pulping some comics here the last few weeks, and we haven't talked about it yet.
Misprinted comics.
But in, like, rapid succession. They've pulped three comics that there were apparently mistakes or late editorial decisions to destroy these comics. The first one everyone pretty much knows about if you stay on the internet, and that is the All-Star Batman and Robin, when they Batgirl had some...
See some curse words.
Yeah.
Dirty words. Yeah.
Have you heard about this story?
I think they say fuck, right? Isn't that right?
I think there's a fuck, there's a cunt.
Now, was that in the script, or did the letter just go crazy? And
well,
I guarantee it was in Frank Miller's script.
Oh, it's a Frank Miller book?
Frank Miller book, and so they put the black boxes over the letters, but the blacks didn't match each other, and so whenever it was printed, you could actually make out the letters from...
Very clever marketing. You say you're covering it up, but
what do you think? Because, you know, there are different blacks. There are different types of blacks that you can use in printing. Do you think this could actually have been a mistake that was made by the colorist on a different color value, and they printed it and didn't see it until...
It's very easily a production error. I mean, besides, if you print something on top of something else, there's all sorts of complications that can be involved.
But wouldn't have someone had to see...
It wouldn't... Okay, in my day job as an art director, you will see things on press that don't show up in a proof.
Okay, the real interesting question to me, though, is how did this get that far? Now, is this the first time, you know, they've ever, you know, used those words? How did that get lettered? I mean, how did that script go to a letterer if that's not... I mean, they have very clear policies on this stuff. You can say this and you can't say
that.
Yeah,
well, it was probably left up to the letterer to cover that up.
But why write it and then cover it?
You mean the intention was to put it in there because they wanted you to think that someone was swearing, but we weren't going to read it.
And then they put a black box over it. And the blacks from the letters didn't match the blacks from the box.
Why write it?
Well, it seems... The whole thing seems wacky to me, because normally you would edit out, say, part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd put an asterisk, you'd use, you know, you'd do something.
Whatever symbols, yeah. Sure.
Right. So, I don't know. This is the first I've actually heard of this, because I don't
pay attention to this crap. Why would you do it in different steps? Why would you...
Well, that makes it seem like an afterthought, or somebody above saying, you can't do that. Like, they were going to run it with this...
They couldn't.
No, they couldn't, because it's DC proper.
I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah.
It just seems so weird that someone would letter it and then at a different point say, I'm going to let... Obviously, we're going to blink this out with the black. Like, then why
That's
bother?
That's the craziest thing.
It just doesn't make sense.
Well, then
it seems like extra... It seems like weird work order to have people...
But then a week later...
Well, see, you know, you have plates, right? So if you print a color over the black plate, it affects the black plate. It's not as true a black.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you always want... black to go on top if you want that rich black or whatever. Don't quote me on that, but I've heard that.
That's true.
The same black.
It's not the exact
that
same
That could
value.
Explain how it happened, that it was done afterwards, and they added it as a color layer, as an editorial decision, not as something done from the start.
I mean, I don't know.
But I don't even understand why we're talking about this. If it was intentional, their intent really was to have the words come through.
It couldn't have been.
Whose intent was it?
And what's the benefit? But the thing is, a week later... They pulp a bunch of action comics.
Yeah, and it cost them a ton of money.
Yeah, and these action comics come out, and it's a picture on the cover. Gary Frank drew it, and it's Clark and Pa Kent leaning on a fence drinking a beer. And it could be root beer, but they pulped them, and they redid the cover.
Well, it's like a generic beer. It says beer.
Yeah, Crow beer. Or something like
but
that.
But they didn't want to be endorsing drinking alcohol on the cover of a Superman.
Yeah. No, they don't drink beer in the Midwest. It doesn't happen. Small farm towns.
If Superman was drinking a delicious camouflage tall boy of Miller High Life,
they'd be all over that.
Yeah.
But is it a weird thing or a bad thing for Clark to be having a beer with Pa Kent? Should Superman drink?
This is an adult Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Not Superboy.
Yeah.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
Isn't it?
Now, holding the cans up to the, you know, the audience,
yeah,
sort of like
I'm
as an ad.
Yeah.
Here, I'll grab
I mean,
the,
it's,
I'll
it's
grab
a little
the
absurd. No, I mean, I'd seen the comic, but it's just, who the hell cares? Other than somebody at DC who's worried about some image about a character.
Well, you know, tons of kids buy comic books now these days.
Yeah.
So they obviously are going to go out and start
just
drinking.
Say no to drinking beer.
If you're over 21.
Well, Superman can do it.
Hey,
then.
You know what? Superman has had... Sometimes he has a really hard fucking day.
Of course, if that was Kansas...
You know what?
If that was Kansas, it might have been 3-2 beer. They should have just put that right on there.
Yeah. It's 3-2, really it's not even real beer.
It's hard to get wasted on 3-2 beer.
Superman sometimes, Luther's on his fucking back. He's got Bizarro up in his face. Superman, he likes to have a nice one single cold beer. Is that too much to ask for Superman to enjoy a fine Miller High Life?
And really, you could argue he's alien, so who knows how
that
is.
Yeah, he might get drunk on water.
And did you figure out...
It could have been green, you know, that new lime green kryptonite beer.
There could be that.
And what was the deal with the DC decisions? They recalled a bunch of those, didn't they?
That seems awfully
like
silly. See, that's much more.
There's a terrorist thing in it, and it was the week of 9/11, and then they've never really.
It's
said
a little not classy, right there.
This whole thing seems like nonsensical to me. Well, it's just who
it
cares?
Seems like
who cares about it?
If I was to analyze their work environment, I would say that somebody higher up than everyone else is deciding at the last minute that certain things shouldn't be done, you know, and that even though everyone else has decided that it's okay, and then someone sees it and says, nope,
yep,
can't
nope.
do this.
Yeah, yeah, editor-in-chief just got back in town, and what the hell was going on while I was gone?
You can have Superman drink a delicious Miller High Life in a camouflage can.
They are delicious. Crazy?
Please sponsor us, Miller High Life. Thank you. Yeah.
So, Tom, anything else going on in comics?
That I you Kill Giants. I wanted to talk about. I'm loving I Kill Giants. Have you read it yet?
I loved the first issue. Loved it.
It's great.
I've got the second one.
It's getting darker.
They sold out of them here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles this week. So
it's a delightful book. It's I need to see the pronunciation. It's written by Joe Kelly with art by J.M. Ken Niemura. It's a story. I think I talked about the first issue. It's a story of a girl, Barbara, who sort of she tells everyone that she kills giants, and you don't really know exactly the nature of what her, if it's real, if it's all fantasy, if it's part in her head, part real, part not. You don't really know what's going on. But you also know that her home life is really messed up. She doesn't have friends. She has this really, it's almost like this Wolverine-esque, to put in comic book terms, like grittiness about like killing giants. But then you see like a kid with this interacting with other kids with like this stone face, like you wouldn't, you know, when she says I kill giants and someone makes a joke about it, and she says you wouldn't laugh if you've ever had to face a giant down, you know, and like, it's just and it's funny, but it's also weird because you don't know why she's doing what she's doing, and it's the book's starting to get a little darker and darker, and you don't quite, you're starting to realize there's something really bad behind why she thinks that she kills giants, and a little bit of hints here and there, and it's gonna probably really upset me when I find out why, because Joe Kelly's done a fantastic job of making this character really likable, and really it's like the ultimate nerd attachment. She's like a fan of obscure baseball facts. She's like a fan of like she reads like Dungeons and Dragons books about giants, and you know,
and the book is drawn in a kind of a manga,
yeah,
very manga. Black and white tone, black and white style. It's, yeah, it's really kind of a neat looking book.
It's a really pretty book.
Image does a ton of really varied.
It's really
stylized books. I mean, the range. There's no. You don't say, "Oh, that's an Image house style." I mean, when Image first started, you might have been able to say that.
Here are the books I bought from Image.
That has not been true for years.
I bought three books from Image this week. I bought Proof, a book about
love. Proof,
but Sasquatch, Back to Brooklyn, a crime style book, and then I Kill Giants, a book about like a girl who claims to, you know, like, you couldn't get three wider variants, yeah, of subject matter.
Subject
and
matter
art styles.
And style, even the way they print them, the kind of stock and color, yeah, and sort of graphic design used, all very different, yeah.
So are the fantasy elements, are those, like, supposed to be real life, or are those just...
You don't know quite yet what the nature of what it is. Like, you get a sense that it's not real, but...
What's the series? Is it limited?
It's six issues.
Six I issues? Believe. Okay, and so this is the third?
We're at the third issue. Yeah, you don't know if the fantasy is
you're
real.
You're really dreading the end of this, aren't you? I could tell.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I think he's doing a really good job of setting up that Barbara, who it was just sort of playful at the beginning, but the farther you go along, the more you realize that like there's something wrong with her home life that is making her go towards this fantasy world, you know. And being, you know, all nerds have their attachment to like to accumulate weird facts, you know, like everyone who's a little bit nerdy.
Well, they're the master of that universe.
Yeah, you're the master, yeah, of obscure baseball
knowledge. That's the
knowledge.
Thing they, where they have power.
Yeah,
and
I know everything about the Flash. That's the world where I now understand.
Oh, good breathy sigh there. Nice, nicely done. Yeah.
Oh God, I understand why I like this book now.
Around Comics is therapy, also.
Yeah, the show's over. Let's walk away.
The end.
No, but it's good. It's really good. It's true. Image. Image has become such a brand name of quality stuff. Like, there's very rarely do I see, like, an Image book that I think looks really bad. Now, I don't buy every Image comic, but, like, if I see something and it's got the Image logo on it, I have a little bit more faith.
There's some credibility to
that
it.
That it's going to be...
But, you know, I think it's a clear case that that is a creator-driven company.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
it's all about, what do you want to do? We'll let you do it. We're not going to go, no, Batman wouldn't do that, or that's not DC or Marvel or whoever. I mean, you know, it's a totally different approach. It's a playground that people can play in. And
but also,
the rules don't exist.
They play it both ways, too, in a fun way, too, because at the end of Proof, Savage Dragon shows up.
Ah, so spoilers!
Oh,
I haven't read it yet.
Well, fuck it. Whatever, he shows up in the last panel. Nah. Read your fucking comics before you show up, and you wouldn't have to worry about this.
I got columns to write.
there's a certain playfulness, too. Not like a serious, like, we have to get everything to fit together, but it seems that, like, everyone who's sort of playing around with superheroes is also willing to have fun with having characters show up in other books.
But that happened because they wanted to do it.
And yeah, exactly.
Someone said, we're doing a crossover.
No, I mean, and that's the fun part. Is they're like, oh, yeah, you can put this. And then I saw a solicit for Savage Dragon where Adam Archer from Godland is going to appear in it. So it's like everyone's sort of having fun with having other characters show up in other books. And you know it's just because they want to do it, they're just having fun with the idea.
I can't imagine the comics landscape without Image. Now, there are so many of those books that I enjoy, and it really is. It's this place that it's this company that you can go, and I'm just going to have fun reading Image books, whether it's, you know, Jay Ferber stuff or Kirkman stuff or stuff like Proof, you know, or stuff that you've never ever heard about.
It's a place that
The Last Christmas, for instance.
The Last Christmas.
It scratches a certain itch that I think for people who are Marvel and DC fans exclusively, I think Image is sort of the best doorway to them checking out stuff that's more creator owned, because Image has a certain cachet to it that if you're going to see independent books at a store, it's probably going to be Image books.
And then the odd Dark Horse book.
And that's sort of the thing I like most about Image right now, is that it's sort of, you have your Marvel and you have your DC, but also you have... Because I get the sense that people sometimes are, like, scared. People are scared to go outside of the stuff that they...
They know.
And that's entertainment. That's a feeling that you... No, if you're going to spend money on something and there's certain stuff that you like and you keep...
I actually don't understand that.
Well,
because I think you can buy into that this is my flavor and this is what I like or whatever. But you either, if you don't grow out of that, you are just a pawn. I mean, there's another attitude, which is I'm interested in art. I'm interested in writing. I'm interested in comics. I'm interested in
whatever. But I don't think most people show up with that.
But... You can get there.
I think that's something that happens after a while. I don't think most people.
But I think you have to internalize some kind of line that's fed to you somewhere. Like a brand is sort of, you know, somehow like grafted onto you.
Well, I think what happens though, I think if you're somebody who, if you get into comics and you start reading Marvel and DC and you're all about like continuity, and you're obsessed with that, and that's what drives you to read the books, and that's it. That's the sole reason why. You're probably going to read comics for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they switch everything around. Now, if you learn to really like art, and you learn to really like the craft of doing it, and you really learn to look outside of Marvel and DC to satisfy another element of what you're looking for in comic books, then you can be a happy fan for a very long time, because there's a lot of stuff to satisfy that sort of urge that you have. But that's something I think that I see a lot of like bitter fans, because there are people who are comic fans for years and years who I don't think are like happy fans. You know, I don't think that they almost seem like they don't enjoy
to like it.
Reading. Like they don't enjoy reading.
But
comics.
The thing is, what's what is actually liberating about not being that the sort of restricted type of fan is it like removes these shackles. It removes the thing that keeps you from seeing what you're really looking at. Like
why is that for comics and not for movies?
No, but here's the thing. There's the equivalent. If you look at film, there are plenty of people who never step out of Hollywood mainstream films. It's as if movies, because Hollywood movies with the budget they have, they get promoted. There's articles written on them, you know, all across the country. Interviews with the creators. The front page of the weekly, you know, weekend movie reviews. That's because there's money behind it.
Right.
And those same people will never go out and see the movies that are actually interesting out there. There is hardly ever anything really creative coming out of Hollywood. There's too much money running on those movies. They have to come out with formulaic product. It might be good formulaic product, but it is pre-sold and overthought out, and most of the life is drained from it.
Part of it is...
You could take your average crappy movie from France or now... Korea is coming out with some fascinating stuff. It's not coming out of Hollywood, but nobody ever sees that stuff. It's not distributed here, which is a matter of money, and it's never seen because people don't want to step out of their comfort zone.
Well, but no one is loyal to Paramount's.
No, but they are loyal to advertising. If they don't think it's big, because look at you watch TV. People watch TV. They read the paper. What are they talking about in there? They're talking about things that are sold to them. Hollywood sends out reps, and they send out free, you know, interviews. They'll fly reporters to the place to interview Tom Cruise or whoever it is. That's very attractive. That lures in attention. They get articles. All this crap goes on because there's money behind it. And the movies that purely have creative energy behind them, that have some voice that has to be expressed, not a product that has to be sold, they don't get the same attention.
I also think there's an element of...
I'm sorry. Does that sound like a communist kind of point
of
view?
No.
But it really is bigger in movies than comics. And comics really, I mean, comics are a little different because there isn't quite as much money involved, right? And you look at a comic, you look at a rack of comics, they're just standing there equally by each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the same comic store, you have an independent right next... If an independent does get, you know, picked up by them, if they buy it from a distributor, it's right next to a Marvel. Whereas a movie is never going to get into a big chain of movie theaters unless it somehow gets through that gauntlet of to get out onto those screens. That's a much tougher thing.
I also think there's an element to
it. A Paramount movie will get on those screens, even if it's a piece of crap.
There's an element to it, though.
It might not last for very long, but it'll get there because there's so much money behind it and they can promote it.
There's always an element, too, though, of it of how much...
Hillary wins.
It's like how much work... It's like sometimes it takes work to find stuff in entertainment, and I think sometimes people don't to find like a lot of to use comic books. I'm gonna stick to the world of comic books.
Yeah,
sorry. Like you look at like a book like it's insane that previews is the system by which everyone finds their books because you have this giant catalog of books and you're supposed to look through it, and if you want a book to be successful, you have to order it 3 months ahead of time before you see it.
And it's tough to get into previews.
Yeah. So you have this one book where you look through it. So if you want to find stuff that is outside of your comfort zone, you have to look through this book. If you don't have a store like Dark Tower...
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, to find something... That you haven't seen what the art looks like. You haven't.
I live in Chicago. We're recording this in Chicago. This week was, World Music, the World Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I went to show after show, with bands from all over the world, and they were brought in. You know,
but if you don't live in Chicago, you're never gonna.
Well, okay, but I mean, actually, with the internet, you can hear a lot of this stuff now. I mean, that sort of breaks down a lot of those old boundaries there, but. I'm going to hear this music. It wasn't promoted. It's not like there's money from the music business behind it. Anyway, you could probably find an analogy in almost any field where money and advertising pushes a certain thing. And
The voice of the loudest voice is going to get noticed. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean,
you hear something scream at you 10 times a day, you'll notice.
Yeah, but how many times do you go out to see a bad movie and you go, this isn't satisfying me? It's like, there is something deadening to me, and maybe I'm getting pompous here, but there's something deadening about product that feels like product.
Yeah,
it feels like churning out the latest thing to this.
But
see this. Ooh, flashy object.
But
there's nothing actually vital about a James Bond movie. There's nothing vital about it. They might have just made a great James Bond movie. But it is essentially a dead enterprise. It's a Cold War. I'm just using this as an example.
They on James Bond, the last one was good.
I totally understand that.
They reinvented.
I understand
series,
that.
But I know what you're.
But I know people
that
are huge
from.
Fans of James Bond. But for the last 20 years, what were they doing with James Bond?
Same thing.
You can't tell one movie from the other in your memory banks.
No. And then they'll do the same thing for the next 4, 5, 6, 7.
But I also think the thing is when people walk into entertainment, the first time you go see a movie, I don't think anyone's going to go see a movie and walk out of it going, that was like overproduced product. I think that feeling comes from getting burned enough times.
You may not be able to articulate it, right? You may go, oh, I just didn't like that, or it was boring.
It takes a while to figure out and I think this applies very well to comic books, because you see people who get burned enough times by certain things, and it seems like it takes them a long time to figure out, then just don't buy it. Get something else if you don't enjoy it.
Right.
But very few people, I think, go in immediately and develop that. I think that it's like it's the educated consumer thing it applies to entertainment. It applies to anything that you buy. When you are spending money on something, you get burnt enough times. That's kind of how you learn to be more discerning.
But maybe you just want, you know, if you don't actually, I mean, you do really have to not be passive about your life and about, because essentially what I'm saying is people get what's given to them. They buy the thing that's sold to them. They're not actually going out and searching for it. And when you do that, yeah, that's when you're going to buy crap. That's when you're going
to. But also, on the other hand, you have to think.
Well, there's also a culture of crap. I mean, there's a culture that develops the easiest way to deliver crap in the most proficient way.
But there's
it's not the best way to deliver, you know, to actually communicate what an artist wants to say. It's the best way to sell tickets.
Well, that's everything.
Well, but there's also the philosophical argument of, like, whether or not...
We could argue that. I mean, that's everything in what? I mean, that's everything
in
a society that...
Not everything, but that's most stuff is designed to sell you something.
Okay, but we say that. We say most stuff. You mean American stuff.
Right.
American culture. Well, why wouldn't the newspaper say, hey, instead of putting the latest movie that happens to be the big franchise thing on the cover, put on the movie that was made by an independent, you know, they gave it 4 stars, but it's on page 13. Why wouldn't they put it on the cover?
Because they get more money from the big studios. That's why.
Yeah.
But I also think...
They're supposedly reporting this. They're supposedly bringing...
Well, entertainment's not new.
No.
There's an element, though, too, of the fact that... And I got into an argument with Sal almost about this exact same thing about Grant Morrison, where I was talking about if... I never feel comfortable if someone says, I enjoyed... If someone came up to me and said, I like GoldenEye, I wouldn't necessarily say to them, I can't believe you like crap. You know, because it's the thing with whether or not people... It's like when you're in a relationship and you see other people and you start thinking, like, I wonder how they feel about each other. Because you never know. You can't equate how you feel about stuff. I mean, now we're getting philosophical about, like, the nature of, like, what you can know about, like...
Everything's subjective. If someone likes something, they like it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they like... Mm-hmm. This is what they like. I like vanilla. You like chocolate. You get into art... It's the same thing, except there's art. look at maybe it's sort of like pornography. They go, well, we know it when we see it, but we can't actually define it.
You know
it.
A creator owns stuff when you
see it. No, you know, you see a movie that was made because the people had to make it from, they had to say this. It was passionate. It wasn't made up Hollywood passion.
So you're talking about GoldenEye. I'm just trying to stick to the James Bond.
They woke up in the
so
morning.
So we're talking about GoldenEye when we're talking James Bond movie. Like, that had to be told. Alright.
Yeah.
So we have GoldenEye.
Someone had to do that movie. It's from their soul.
Oh, the bad James Bond.
Oh, I'm not saying they're, you know, I'm not saying that's the only way to make movies, and I love really entertaining movies. I probably have old fashioned tastes in what I find entertaining, but I like movies
how old fashioned
that aren't about, you know.
How old fashioned are you, Hillary? If you were to pick a prime example of your old fashioned taste, what would it be?
No, I remember, often what I tell people, if you want to see an entertaining movie, I always cite two Burt Lancaster movies from the 1950s.
You do have old taste almost immediately from the fact that you picked two Burt Lancaster.
Sure.
Not one, but two Burt
Lancaster. No, two. Well, I have a prepared answer. Maybe it's my road answer.
You have two, yeah.
Flame and the Arrow and The Crimson Pirate. And directed by two good directors, Jacques Tourneur and Robert Siodmak. I can't remember who directed which right now. I think...
Nerd.
Flame and the Arrow.
You failed the nerd test. Your Burt Lancaster nerd test.
But they're wonderful entertainments, and there's, you know, they're out there. Check them out. I'm sure you can get them on Netflix.
I'm sure you can. You can get everything on Netflix.
Well, if it's on DVD, yeah.
Or VHS.
One of the things that's changed during my lifetime that I have a hard time with, you know, like the aforementioned James Bond movies is. They're just, the action sequences go on so long, and there's really no character in them.
No, they are what they are.
And whatever...
For the James Bond, are we still...
Whatever failings the early James Bond films had, and you know, as...
I thought you were just talking about movies in general, and I was like, what a weird general feeling to have, like, all the action...
Yes?
In all movies.
Oh, no, films do... it is tiresome for me, the way... They pump up the action movies because I'm much more interested in you know getting a feeling of.
I thought you said the exit scenes, like the last
action scenes.
I was like,
exit scenes?
Yeah, like the.
I don't think there's anything
the ending.
All the ending.
That's why I was so confused by what you were talking about.
Pardon me.
I was like, why is he picking on this one specific thing from all movies?
You know, and now the final curtain.
He was dying at the end of Lord of the Rings.
My
will
wife?
This movie end?
Exit stage left.
People can't decide what to do with their life. They just don't know what it is that's right. They just don't know what to do. They just don't know what's right for you. If you can't decide where to go with your life, you just don't know to spend your time. If you can't decide where to go with your life, I'm sure you'll do whatever's right. I've always known you were incredibly bright.
But most of the interesting stuff out there is not done by Marvel and DC. I mean, it's
but also the thing though too is
trying to maintain the status quo.
This always comes
up. No. I mean, actually, there's pretty interesting stuff out there. I don't follow it. I read comics.
Here's the thing: when you talk about the, you're like, oh, when I was 13, there was all this interesting stuff going on, and this always comes up when people go back to read comics that they liked when they were 13, and now they don't like it. I always think. What other stuff in your life that you liked when you were 13 do you still like with the same...
Do you still eat Jawbreakers?
Do you still like the same TV
but
shows?
But I'm different, Tom.
No, but but there's like this weird thing with comics for some reason where people are like, oh, if I liked it when I was 13, I should like it.
See, well this is what happened. Yeah, this
when
is
I
what
was
happened.
13, fucking Watchmen and Dark Knight came out.
Well,
I mean,
if you were 13
different.
And you bought Black Hole, would you have liked it?
No.
Yeah, well then, so what then? Obviously, other 13-year-olds wouldn't have either. You're crying about nothing.
When I was 16 or when I was 18,
you know what?
I probably would have, but that's not the kind of comic.
But you're reading it. But you're reading it now.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Understand what the big deal is about.
See, I remember.
It.
I remember when I was. I don't
I'm
know if I was 13,
that I missed it.
But I remember stumbling on Zap
but
comics.
You didn't reading it,
you know, when I was a kid, and I, you know, I'm reading like Robert Crumb.
Yeah.
When I, you know, I was not the adult reader. We'd go to head shops and buy these things. They called them head shops back then. And look, I'm reading Joe Blow, you know, a story where this family sleeps together, you know, the father and the daughter and the mother, and it's a happy ending. It's a happy ending. The family that sleeps together stays together kind of thing. And it's actually really funny to read it as an adult. It's so perverse, yeah. But it is so twisted. Just the whole intent, the straight way he does it all with a straight face, like this is just a happy ending. Well, as a kid, that was like shocking to me.
Well, it's one of those outrageous things where it's like, I didn't mean to pick on you specifically, but I hear this come a lot from people. I hear a lot of people sort of like wistfully talk about what they missed out on when they were 13. It was like,
I know people that say, "Oh, this comics in the '70s, that was it."
When I was 13 or 14, I was like middle, like Todd McFarlane, the whole Image thing. And that was shit. I knew it was shit. I mean, I bought it, but
first 15, 18 issues of that were good.
No,
you know. But honestly, with Black Hole, I missed out on that when I was 22, not when I was, you know, 15.
Well, but good stuff sticks around. I mean, it's one of the
you can't.
We have this obsession with timeliness in comics, like where if you. Like, no one ever...
I'm going to be there when it happens.
Yeah, no one is like, oh, God, I can't believe I missed out on The Godfather. What a bunch of... Like, the fact that I saw The Godfather, years after somebody else somehow devalues the fact of whatever impact The Godfather had on me. If you read Black Hole when you're 30 and it has an impact on you, that has the same value as someone who read it when they were 22.
Yeah, I mean,
we're so obsessed with when things come out in comic books.
It's like, you know, if there's a band in the town that you live in, it's like, well, like Smashing Pumpkins in Chicago. There are people that are like, you know, I can't believe I didn't see Smashing Pumpkins whenever they were playing clubs in Chicago before they, you know, exploded and got huge.
But no one's going to be this mythical, like, ultra-hip kid who sees all the best movies and all the best books.
But don't you kind of want to be that,
that person? It's kind
of that's the nature of being 13. You buy, you get, man, when you're 13, when, 13. When I'm 13, no, I didn't buy the greatest comics, but that's, when you're 13, you don't buy the same stuff you're going to love when you're 30. Yeah, like, that's why that's the nature of being 13.
I mean, of course, when you're older, you're going to appreciate things more and wish you had been exposed to that, but you probably wouldn't have liked it if you were younger.
Because your tastes are all built up from everything you get beforehand. It's about getting... It's the thing I said earlier about becoming an educated consumer. When you get burned by enough stuff, your tastes change and you become... I mean, no one goes from 0 to 60, like, immediately. Like, there aren't too many 13-year-old kids who the first comic they pick up is going to be Black Hole. And that's the first thing that they read, and it's like, I'm reading the coolest thing now. And, like, everyone goes... When you're 12, you buy the most popular stuff because that's what you do when you're 12. That's the nature of being 12.
That's how NSYNC and all those guys have careers. I mean, they're mass produced.
They're probably fine.
In comics, the people that are buying comics aren't 12. They're like 24 to 40. You know, they're still buying the.
But it's. I just, if something's really good, it's going to stick around, and something like someone will buy Black Hole 10 years from now, someone will buy Black Hole 20 years from now. I don't think we should worry so much about, like, some apocalyptic now where we have to jam everything into
everyone's hands
immediately.
Read it now, Tom.
Yeah, everyone, you have to get everything in everyone's face immediately because, God forbid, you know. When you're into comics, buying bad comics, that's part of the whole experience of buying comics.
It's kind of like being a baseball fan. You know what?
Your team's going to fucking suck at some point.
Well, you know, it's like in every baseball season, a team's going to win about 60 games and lose 60 games, guaranteed. It's what they do in the other 40 games.
I always say that when people ask us for recommendations. I always feel like when people are like, I'm going to get into comics, they are like, not so much interest in getting really good stuff, but interest in, like, avoiding some horrible comic.
That's true.
And it's always like, well, like, you know, it's like if you go around, if you buy comics, I've been buying comic series. I've bought bad comics that I thought were going to be good. That's what happens with, that happens in art. That just happens with art. Right. There's been movies I've saw that I thought were going to be good and they're going to be bad. There's no way to avoid being exposed to, but that's part of developing your taste, too. I mean, that's part of the whole experience. If you're going to get into an art form and you're going to become like a fan of it, you're going to get stuff that you can't avoid, bad stuff. As much as you want to, you will buy something you don't like. I mean, that's just sort of the nature of...
Right. I couldn't imagine, like, seeing my first movie and hating it and just swearing off movies. It just seems...
Well, but a movie with that actor or that director...
Well, it all depends on the age, too. When you're a kid, kids like everything. Kids get exposed to a lot of stuff. It happens. Let's end this show. This is going on for fucking ever. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
It's over. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I love all of you, but fuck you.
All right.
How long is this show?
It's all about fucking love, Tom.
Long enough.
It's all about the fucking love.
Oh, that means it's too long.
Yeah.
You're going to have to edit the fuck out of this show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mostly the fuck. Just the fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fucking fuck, fuck, fuck.
That's not what I'm doing.
End the show.
That's what I'm doing on my trip to South Bend this weekend. All right. Want to thank everyone for their iTunes reviews.
You're going to South Bend this weekend?
Yep.
Sweet. So it's morning there. Why are you going to South Bend?
Because my wife's family lives in South Bend, and we're going to visit my new niece.
Excellent.
Yes.
Haven't been there in years.
I'll go to buymetoys.com, and it's an actual brick-and-mortar store that is named .com. So,
clever.
Buymetoys.com. Cool. They'll be doing the 24-hour comic day, which is coming up here soon. But I want to thank everyone for leaving an iTunes music review. It really does help the show. Appreciate that. As always, it's a great way to help spread the word about the show, which, speaking of, everyone out there, if you have a chance, while you're at the local comic shop this week, go ahead and tell someone about the show and encourage them to listen. That's the best way to get new listeners on board and spread the comics love. So we appreciate it if you do that. Listening to Tom's podcast, Tom versus the Flash, a couple times each week. You can just search that on iTunes. You can always check out on the Around Comics forum with Tom. He'll let you know everything that is going on there with the adventures of Barry Allen.
Yep.
Are you still on Barry Allen?
Yeah, I'm going to be on Barry Allen if I do this at the rate I'm doing, I'll be on it until I'm 50.
Nice.
I'm doing
like
two issues
a
week.
Okay, there you go. Tom versus the Flash till Tom is 50. Yeah. He's a young man, so that's a lot of...
My kids are knocking on the door. What are you doing in there?
I do 11 o'clock comics every week with Vince B., David Price, and Wood. So you can check that out on Thursday or Friday at 11 o'clock comics. And I do a weekly column at ifanboy.com called Comic Shots, where I match a great cocktail with hopefully a great comic book. And that's out every Thursday morning. So go to ifanboy.com, check that out, and all of their other great columns. And you can check out your poll list that week and their great podcast as well. We love the iFanboy guys. They are also sponsors of the Windy City Comic Con. I believe that Ron and he just told me maybe Gordon the intern is going to come up from Indianapolis.
Oh shit.
Bring out the booth, babes, is what Gordon will say. So come on out to the Windy City Comic Con. You can meet Ron and hopefully Gordon.
Babes? Are there going to be booth babes?
Probably not.
We're trying to get some booth babes.
Really?
No. So
I'm not involved in the planning. I have no idea what we're doing.
WindyCityComicCon.com. Hillary Barta will be there with about 40 or 50 other creators. Should be a good time. Lots of exhibitors, fun programming for the whole family. Come on out. $5.
For the whole family.
For the whole family. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this week. Brandon, Hillary, Tom. Thank Mark for hosting us at Dark Tower like he always does. Everyone have a fantastic week and weekend. We'll be back again next Monday with a full-length episode. In the meantime...
In between time.
Thank you, guys.
If you're 13 years old, you won't like this when you're 30. If you're 30, you probably won't like it when you're 45.
We'll be everywhere in...
And around aging fan bases. Aging sad sacks.
Sad.
turn off the computer, Mom.
Get back into your basement. Losers. Nerds.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.